Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily Bible reading, 10 Minutes with Jesus, looking at the tail end of Colossians chapter 2 into Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin in chapter 2, verse 20. Paul writes, "If you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why do you submit to its rules as if you were still living in the world? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. All of these rules end in destruction when they are used, because they are in accord with human commands and teachings. While such rules have the appearance of wisdom with self-chosen religion, which consists of humiliation and severe treatment of the body, they have no value at all in checking the self-indulgence of the sinful flesh." This is the word of our God. We'll get into chapter 3 here shortly. But just a closing comment on this section. Paul is really aiming at the freedom that we have in Christ, the freedom that we have in the gospel, and he ties that freedom to the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that person, the body of Jesus Christ, that he actually has a literal physical body. And he's also addressing, I think, again, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times probably, he's addressing these beginning ideas, or these ideas that have crossed the Aegean Sea and from Greece and are being propagated and are being spooking around there in Colossae, the ideas of basically Greek religion and Gnosticism, the Greek idea of the body culturally and religiously, I suppose, is that the body is bad and that my goal is to eventually be free of the body and then get to whatever shadowy afterlife that I happen to have. But that's not really the goal. Their goal is to just get what they can out of this life and move on. And so Paul highlights these words that sound so wise and appear so wise, these basic principles, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, basically every diet advice from the history of the world, right? Where these people would have their particular rules. And it's not just, you know, the Greeks, they had their own set of rules, and it's not just the Jewish people who have their own set of rules, you know, because they both are doing the same thing, where they have this knowledge that appears to be very wise, and they have these guidelines that appear to be very beneficial. But Paul says, if you don't have Christ, you're missing the point. And he says that if you're following these things in the hope of spiritual gain and in the hope of attaining this wisdom, then you're also missing the point. All of these rules end in destruction while they are used. They have the appearance of wisdom with self-chosen religion, which consists in humiliation and severe treatment of the body, but they have no value at all in checking the self-indulgence of the sinful flesh. And that's kind of the maze that the sinful flesh provides, where when we think that we can just set up these boundaries and have these rules, then either we don't obey them and we collapse into licentiousness, or we, you know, follow these ideas and fall into sin, or we do follow them and then we take pride in what we are accomplishing and what we are doing. And that's what Paul's warning against. He's like, you can't add rules to Jesus. First of all, you have to have Jesus. And then when you have Jesus, then you've been set free. And you've been set free in a way that nobody else has, that everybody outside of the Christian faith has not been set free. And so now live as a free person. Because, you know, don't go chasing after this whole set of new rules or regulations in order to try and attain a better life. Focus on Jesus. And then when you've been set free by Jesus, then you can see the relationship that you have to God's law as somebody who has fulfilled God's law in Christ. And that's what he continues on in chapter 3. Therefore, because you are raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so Paul says, this is how you're different. You've been raised with Christ. And so set your mind on things that are above. You have this new life that is not characterized by rules and regulations and exhortations to obedience. You have this new life that is hidden with Christ in God. And so that's the hidden life that you have is hidden with Christ in God. And the life that you live here, Christ is hidden within you, right? That he has come to dwell within you individually and personally. And his perfection has replaced each of our shortfallings. And he's really taken us off that hamster wheel of trying to measure up. That's what Paul's really saying. If you have Jesus, you have everything, even if you have nothing else. And if you have everything and you have all these rules, but you don't have Jesus, then you have nothing. Okay. So then picking it up in verse five, and this will be our last portion for today. So put to death whatever is worldly in you: sexual immorality, uncleanness, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. It is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. You too once walked in these things while you were living in them, but now you also are to rid yourselves of all these things: wrath, anger, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is continually being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but rather Christ is all and is in all. And so Paul says that you are different, not because of what you do, but because of what Christ has done for you. That you live here in this world as a stranger in this world, because your true citizenship is in heaven. I think he talks elsewhere about that same idea. And so you want your life to be characterized by the real you. You want your actions to be characterized by the real person, which is the Christian person. So then he says, since you are different, since you have died, since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above and put to death the things of below: the sexual immorality, uncleanness, lust, evil desire, and greed. These things that take hold of our hearts and our emotions and our minds and enlist the members of our body against us. That's what the sinful flesh does. It enlists the members of our body against us. So even hormones, you know, that guide and shape our lives, those hormones can be enlisted against us to distract our minds and our attention. Even the good blessings that God has given us, because if you look at this list, there's almost a godly counterpart to each of them. Sexual immorality, well, the counterpart would be the proper expression of sexuality within a marriage between one man and one woman. Sex is a good thing, God says. Uncleanness and lust, well, God has created us to be clean and to be devoted to one spouse or to live a godly life as a single person. Lust is kind of that interior hidden desire that we keep hidden or that people keep hidden. And that desire is good and godly when it was for your spouse, and that's where it belongs. And lust and evil desire kind of go together, because it's not bad to work towards something that is good and godly, and to work toward that in a good and godly way, you know, to put in a full day's work and a hard day's work toward a particular goal. That's good, you know? But to have evil desire for merely personal gain, and greed is kind of the other one that he kind of tucks in here, which is idolatry. That lust, evil desire, and greed are all kind of internal compulsions and ideas and desires after these things which make the same promises as God, but always fall short on following through. Money makes the same promise as God. Pleasure makes the same promise as God. Achievement makes the same promise as God. Even amassing wealth makes the same promise as God. These promises of peace and security and contentment and happiness and joy and well-being. Those are all promises made by this list that Paul has for us here, but they never follow through. Only God follows through with his promises that he makes. And the sexual immorality, uncleanness, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry, all of these things, they promise temporary peace or satisfaction. But in the end, all they bring is heartbreak and disaster. Even if somebody, you know, in their greed, they win the lottery. Congratulations, you've won $150 million. And maybe that person isn't like most of the lottery winners and manages it well. But without Jesus, all that everything is worth nothing when it gets to the end of time. For a little bit more commentary on that, check out our sermon from this past Sunday on the rich man and poor Lazarus. So as we wrap up today, we'll talk about this a little bit more probably tomorrow. Verse 10, put on the new self, which is continually being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, that you as a Christian now bear in a limited way, you carry the image of God, and that God has created and begun this new work in you when he brought you to faith. And this new life of faith is something that will continue to grow as it is informed and guided by the knowledge of Scripture, and as the Holy Spirit shapes us to be more godly in how we act, in the putting off of the sinful flesh with all of its desires, and putting on of the godly desires that look to God for everything, that see in Jesus all of our fullness. And then after that, to ask that simple question, how can I thank you, Lord? Well, it's in that context, and I know I've said this before, it's in that context that we look back to the law of God with hearts that have been set free and minds that have been freed from the demands of sin and the compulsion to sin, to look at God's word and look at God's law and say, oh, I can serve God by serving my neighbor. I can serve God by serving my neighbor in according to the fifth commandment, by doing what I can to provide for his bodily needs. I can serve God according to the sixth commandment by loving and honoring my spouse or living a godly life as a single person. I can serve God in the seventh commandment by helping my neighbor improve and protect his property and means of income. I can serve God in the eighth commandment even by defending my neighbor's reputation, defending someone else's reputation and speaking well of them and taking the words and actions in the kindest possible way. I can glorify God according to the ninth and tenth commandment by urging those people to stay and do their duty and helping my neighbor or my friend or my acquaintance in taking care of the blessings with which God has blessed him. And that's how the Christian life is totally upside down and backwards from everything that this world would present to us. And that's the principled foundational difference between Christianity and absolutely anything else that has such an appearance of wisdom. That kind of wraps us up. You could find us this Sunday, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. Just a reminder, we do have a guest preacher, Pastor Andrew Nauman, will be here, and he will talk about ministerial education. There's also a bunch of handouts in the fellowship hall, kind of updates about our four ministerial education schools, Michigan Lutheran Seminary in Saginaw, Luther Prep in Watertown, Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in Mequon, Wisconsin. Be sure to check those out this Sunday, and God bless your day.